Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment advice. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about talking to house sellers, let's say, versus to land sellers. There are some pretty substantial differences, don't you think, Jill?
Wait. You don't like to talk, except for this show. So I gotta know who this is. This is obviously do as I say, not as I do.
So,
how many house sellers have you talked to recently, Jack?
Actually, a couple.
Okay.
Not, you know, maybe.
By default?
Less than 10.
Uh-huh.
And it's not because, it's just because I want to learn.
Okay. I was just going to say.
Because we're really cranking up our house effort.
That'd be funny if I don't know, ask Jack. Here, let's give you Jack's number. Could you imagine? If you're the front line.
I would do that. Like, if I said, all right, Thursday is talking to house seller day.
Yeah, but no, but they want to talk Sunday night, yeah, they want to talk Wednesday morning,
oh,
and they want to talk and talk and talk.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for bringing me back to reality.
That's what I thought this is about. I'm like, where's he going with this? I can't wait to hear.
Before we get into this topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Jason L. asks, hello, everyone. I had a potential buyer just call me. I did what Jack said and made a few Craigslist posts in the county I sent letters to. Buyers called me and we chatted for a long time. He's an OTR trucker.
Over the road.
Okay, thank you. Who wants property to settle down and start his family on. I really liked his story and I wanted to help him. He divulged to me his whole financial situation. I have a parcel of land that I can offer him. My question is, how long would you take out a terms deal? I can sell him the land for $80,000 to $100,000, but it would take 20 years to pay it off. Something will happen within that time, and I will probably have to foreclose. I'm trying to talk him into a cheaper property, but I do not have that acreage for sale yet. The mailer just went out today. What is the maximum years you would take out a terms deal? Would it have to factor in the down payment amount, the monthly payment, total profit for the deal? What parameters do you use? Jack?
Again.
Sorry.
A little bit more to the question.
Sorry about that. There's a little bit more. Again, I listened to this man tell me his story and I want to help. One of the reasons I joined this group was to help people to realize their dream of land home ownership. If I was a billionaire, I would probably give it to him, but unfortunately, I am not. Would like to hear what your suggestions are on this topic. To a prosperous new year to all, Jason L.
Jason, cool. So here's I'm going to give you
super
my short
cool.
answer and then my long answer. The short answer is you are a natural born cash salesperson. In the land business, you're either a cash person like us, or you're a terms person, like a lot of people in this group are. And the terms, you know, you can set yourself up for life on, I don't know, 10 deals,
mm-hmm.
10 or 15 really good deals. So it's exactly what you described. Terms are you buy a property for cash, you obviously try to pay as little as you can, and you sell it on terms, theoretically, for as much as you can,
mm-hmm.
and collect payments for a tremendous amount of time. Part of that business model is planning for and budgeting for foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, on a 20-year deal, the likelihood of anybody paying the property off, because stuff changes, we all know stuff changes, life changes, is very small. And that's part of the deal. And some of the people in our group plan for that. And they actually they bank on it.
Yeah, they want that.
They know they're going to own this property forever.
Mm-hmm.
Property A. So that's not personally why Jill and I are really here. Although we do have a bunch of terms deals and we manage them, you have to decide. Here's the other thing that with terms that I don't personally like. You know how you know this guy's life story now, this trucker? That's so inefficient. Can you imagine if you had 1,000 deals with 1,000 stories?
Yeah. I mean, you're managing them over time?
Or just, you just...
Like...
I have this motto that I haven't talked about it. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the air. Never review every deal.
Mm.
You just have to look at the thing real fast, boom, bang, that's it. Sell it out. Just put it in a machine.
It's easier when it's cash. It's better when it's terms. I understand where Jason's going here, and I actually kind of appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you the flip side of this, my opinion, and it's not bad, because you know what? If this guy's really, let me, This could be a dream situation too. So
for everybody, seller, buyer, everybody.
Yeah, because let me paint this picture. So now Jason knows this guy, and the guy knows Jason, and Jason's really trying to help the guy out, and the guy knows it. So man, this guy's going to do all possible to move on to the land, love it, make his payments, you know, make it pretty, put something great on it. I could see that could be the outcome, and that's what Jason's thinking about. So I get that.
You just have to decide. And you know what? Honestly, you don't decide. If you do 10 or 15 or 20 deals, the deal type will decide for you. You will gravitate towards one of them. And the first part of it, you took the first step here by asking the online community and asking what we think.
You know what? That's it. Maybe that's the answer. It's really owner, financer, do you want to be? You want to not get to know everybody, have a lot of transactions, flip them really fast, or do you want to buy, you know, 10, 20 awesome properties and have guys like this, you know, paying over a long period of time, and you know them, but there's only 20 of them, and you send them a Christmas card every year, and that's it.
Or both.
And you retire on that.
Right. That's exactly right. So, you know, neither to really directly answer your question about financially how to analyze these deals, if you go to landinvestors.com in the bottom, there's a Jack's, I think it's called Jack's ROI analysis. Download that spreadsheet and it'll show you how much money you're making and how to look at the deal. But I'll tell you, there's nothing more profitable in real estate than term sales.
Right. Most of our members, us included, usually are getting back our initial investment on the down payment or pretty darn fast. So then the X years that these people are making payments, it's gravy.
When I mean profitable, I mean by percentage. I mean, there's thousands of percent return on investment.
Right, when it's all said and done. When you buy it for $10,000 and sell it for 60.
60 or 100.
Right.
And, you know, your down payment, if you get your down payment back on the idea is you buy property for $10,000, you charge $10,000 down and get $1,000 a month for 20 years or some number like that with interest and everything. You take that $10,000 again and buy another property and then buy another property and on and on and on. And so you have a very finite amount of investment capital, but an infinite amount of, not infinite, but close to that, money coming in, an acquisition opportunity. So all of that's really basic real estate investment financial advice. What's always missing from academic advice is how to do it.
It's true.
That's what.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that too bad?
You're right. Everybody has a lot of great theories, but nobody. I question they even know how to do it.
That's what I think.
There you go.
I've never met a college professor who knows exactly how to do it.
You know,
never.
I can think of a few individuals that not really. We don't really have any competitors. Nobody really does what we do, but, you know, for lack of a better term, that they are really good on theory, but not so good on execution.
Exactly.
Thank you. I had to get that out. I feel better now.
Today's topic, talking to house sellers. This is the meat of the show. Talking to house sellers, in my opinion, is very different than talking to land sellers or talking to commercial real estate owners my opinion. I mean, what do you think, Jill?
This is their one and only thing that they have. This is not a secondary asset. That's what I think too. It is.
You nailed it. It's their primary residence.
Yeah. So that's, I made a couple points on this. So talking to these folks here to buy these acquisitions, they've identified, they've got an offer from us. And it just couldn't have come at a better time for whatever reason, and they need to sell. And there's a couple things that you need to be aware of. One is the emotional attachment that you know, it's true. You know, you're buying a house, selling a home. Wait, selling a house, buying a home. That's it. You have to really be aware of that, because that's how they. Some people though, they're buying a home and selling a home. Do you understand what I'm saying with that, Jack?
Yeah, they're emotional. It's their primary residence.
Well, there's just love into it. Like the door frame still has the notches of their kids growing up.
Right.
And they're trying to decide, do we really want to sell or can I take the door frame with me? You know, whatever it is. And I would let them, by the way.
So would I.
So you have to be aware of that and tread lightly and be, don't, I guess just be supportive of that.
So the big difference is that when somebody who owns a piece of property that they've probably never seen, land.
Right. Or inherited.
And they're not usually in a big rush. They're like, you know, they get the letter and they look at it, it's like $4,000 or something. You know, granddad owned this property. We're never going to use it. That's how the conversation goes the next morning, you know, over coffee. Let's just get rid of it. Let's just sign this thing, $4,000. We don't have to pay the taxes anymore. What do you think? And it wasn't really on their radar. In fact, our letter, our offer probably reminded them that they own it at all.
Right.
With a house, they answer the phone and they say, oh my gosh, they say one of two things. You're an angel that fell out of the sky. Yes, I would love to sell my house for $120,000. Please tell me what to do next. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Or they say, you are the devil and my house is worth 140, not 120. And I hope that you burn in hell.
Yeah.
And then Jill talks him into selling the house to us for $130. But so it's very emotional. Jill's right. It's an emotional primary residence thing. And what I've noticed about house sellers is that there's a reason. It's not just over coffee, let's just take the $4,000 and forget it. There's a very direct reason that they want to sell their house. There's an illness or they just don't. A lot of them just say, thank you. I don't have to clean out the garage. Somebody's going to come and clean the garage out for me.
And it's fast. They love
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, I'll sell it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's something. Their job change. But there's some life. So what they're focused on is the illness or the job change or the circumstances they're in. They don't care about this house deal, which is real good news for people like us.
That's true.
What you want to be, it's important to know, you do not ever want to take advantage of somebody.
Correct.
In a situation. You never want to kick them when they're down. This isn't football.
Correct. That's my second point, okay. Too, trustworthy. They need to feel that you're helping them, and you need to be a good person to help them, like Jack said. That drives me crazy. Even, you know, I haven't heard it in a long, long time because I think we got our point across. But early on, we had members that were saying, it was worth this, but I got it for that. And I'm like, okay, come on, everybody. You know, I heard other people giving advice too, like, see, they'll just give it to you or send them a dollar. I'm like, come on, let's be cool about this. You know, and even if the property is not worth very much at all, I'm going to make sure they get something out of it. They get to take a weekend in Vegas out of it or something that they can afford to do. That's not, like you just said, don't kick people when they're down.
Right.
And all sellers need to, you know, trust you. And we talk about transparency a lot.
Right. The other thing that I've noticed about, and this is really true for both groups, people who respond to an offer, a blind offer like we send, 9 times out of 10 have no idea what their property's worth. Mm-hmm. So you do not want to take advantage of that. You want to make some money on it. But you also want to solve a problem for them too. You know, if I had a nickel for every time, it just shocks me. I guess it's because we're in the business. Like, right. If I'm driving down the street, I don't care where I'm going or what's happening. I'm really looking at real estate. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at house values. You know, lately Jill's drives and I sit shotgun and call out the values. That's how
it's
sad.
It's just kind
of
funny.
It's a sad, sad state of our marriage. So it still to this day shocks me that people are like, what do you mean my house? A lot of times they say, what do you mean my house is worth $120,000? I thought it was worth $60,000.
So
yeah,
funny.
I'd sell it. You know, we all know it's worth more than that. So, or we wouldn't be buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess really what I'm saying is this. No matter who they are, meet the seller from where they come. You are solving. They won't say it sometimes, but you are solving a problem for them.
Yeah.
And so the sooner you can figure that out, Jill's an expert at this, figure out what that person's deal is.
Yep.
And solve the problem. Again, if it's a door frame with the kids' notches in it.
Yeah, and that's the one thing holding them back there. They can take the door frame.
Yep.
I'll take it off for them. And I'll pack it, and I'll take it to the new house, whatever it is.
You would do that, wouldn't
I
you?
I would.
That's
yeah.
True.
It's, that's not crazy.
That's why I love you.
Thank you.
It's a very nice, heartfelt gesture, Jill. I mean
Thank
it.
You very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you've done it again. Wasted another 15 or so minutes listening to the Jack Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss what we learn from pissed off customers.
This is
diametrically the opposite of the show today.
This is going to be really funny. And we answer your question, should you have one, post it on jackdill.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. I love solving these problems for these people. I had no idea when I got into this that this is what would happen.
Oh. You know,
I'm not like making myself a saint here. I'm just saying 9 out of 10 customers are pretty darn happy.
I agree. You know what I find too that's so interesting is so many of these people too, these sellers, they have no idea about the process or what's involved. And the more that we, you know, we assign people to kind of walk them through the process, and right. that has proven to be so helpful,
right.
you know, and even just a checklist of here's how it's going to go, you know, it's just so you're not surprised. And the more we do that, you know, the better it is.
Right.
It's so helpful.
Exactly.
So it is, it's true. It's a whole different thing. The numbers are higher and the people are different. The transactions take a little bit. They do take a little bit longer, let's be honest. But I mean, days versus, you know, it's only days. It's not like it's months or weeks, you know, anything crazy really. But
there's a hand-holding element.
Yeah, it's true.
You just hired a new assistant today, didn't you?
I did. I can't wait.
This is today our first day?
It is our first day.
You're excited.
I'm very excited.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I got to go because I'm going to get your stuff ready. Just kidding.
No, I don't think you're kidding at all.
Hey, like a show? Please rate us on iTunes. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.